Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask you to help us to understand your words and help us to look at the book from your perspective, from a doctrinal viewpoint. Also help us to look at it from our perspective, that we might receive blessings so that we have some instruction in righteousness. I pray you'd help us to learn those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, two books in the Bible. Of the 66, only two named after a woman. Ruth was a Gentile who married a Jewish man, and then she was in the lineage of Jesus. And then Esther is a Jewish lady who married a Gentile man. And it seems like the Lord always runs these opposites. You have Saul in the Old Testament of the tribe of Benjamin that started off good and ended up bad, and Saul in the New Testament of the same tribe that started off bad and ended up good. So the tribulation is going to be, earth is going to be as much like hell as possible, and men will reject Christ, and the millennium will be as much like heaven as possible, and many men will reject Christ. So it seems like the Lord runs these opposites. Okay, and if we look at the Bible doctrinally, this book, Esther, the book of Esther, it appears to be a doctrinal picture of the rapture of the church and going into the trib. Okay, and the reason why that would be is because the church is primarily made up of Gentiles. Obviously, the vast majority of the church is Gentiles, but even the Gentile, when we get in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. And so we have a Gentile bride being pushed aside, and a Jewish bride will be replacing it. So that would be like the rapture is the Gentile bride's pulled out, and the Jewish bride is stepping in. And so that's God finished the unfinished business with Israel. And Haman is a type of the Antichrist. Okay, Haman gives rise to a common saying, is you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. Okay, that's Haman. So he's called the adversary. So he is in type the Antichrist. And then the next book chronologically in the Bible is Job. And Job is in Uz. That's Petra. He's persecuted by Satan directly. You have 42 chapters to match the 42 months. Job is mentioned by James to be an encouragement to the Jewish righteous. So that's how Job, if you look at it doctrinally, you find many doctrines in there about the workers of iniquity and about the Antichrist. And then Psalm 2, we have a prophecy of the millennial kingdom. So the Bible runs in a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial fashion, meaning our Bible. The Jewish Bible has the same 39, but they lay it in a different order. So if you run through Esther with that in mind, you might see some typology in here. Okay, and again, if we look at it from our perspective, Esther, many of the scholars don't think that Esther should be in the Bible because it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't use the word God or Lord. Neither one of those are found in the book of Esther, so they say that it shouldn't be in the Bible. But yet Esther reveals how God works behind the scenes more than any book in the Bible. Okay, and just in the nick of time, he rescues the Jews and all that stuff. So Esther is like God pulling back, like I mentioned this morning, and he's working behind the scenes. And that's where coincidence comes in play, and that's simply when God wants to remain anonymous. So Esther's a wonderful book to go through. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, He portrays the proper attitude of what do you do when the civil authorities pass unjust laws. So Mordecai reveals some call this civil disobedience, but he reveals the proper program in that, as does Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. as do or did the midwives, as did the apostles and Paul. So there's many examples in the Bible. The Bible shows us that we, none of us, are to blindly follow any governing authority, okay, or any religious authority. They make Fauci this great hero, but I would say he falls under the line of blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That dude is definitely ungodly. And when he receives his just dues, the sooner the better. So that's a little bit of Esther. The very last verse in Esther, when Mordecai is elevated, it reveals the highest calling and attitude that a public official should have. Esther 10, verse 3. Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people. Okay, that's not saying he's seeking to get their wealth. He's seeking their benefit of them getting wealth and speaking peace to all his seed. And if you had a society like that or a nation like that, it says in Proverbs that when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. And the wicked bear rule, people mourn. So how are we looking at our country right now? So it's an amazing thing. So Esther reveals the Lord's providential and secret care over Israel. And his children are completely evident in this account of Esther. So I think that's kind of lays a foundation. Haman and his sons, I forget to mention his sons. His sons portray who are called the workers of iniquity in the tribulation. Okay, there's workers of iniquity. That phrase is found 22 times in the scriptures, 21, 22. First occurrence is in Job. The phrase shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death occurs again about 21 or 22 times. And they occur one time in the exact same passage. So those are tribulation references. And the Lord says in Psalm 5:5 that he hates the workers of iniquity. Okay, that's the sin. And if the workers of iniquity are flesh and blood people, then he would not only hate their sin and the sinner, but the workers of iniquity might be very similar to those demoniac kings in the tribulation, where there would be demoniac creatures that are in positions of political authority, like the mighty men of renown in Genesis chapter 6. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. And of course, when the devil or devils appear to be men, very rare will people figure this out. By their physical appearance, where Judas Iscariot, where the apostles lived with this devil for 3.5 years, and they still didn't know he was a devil. And so that's how subtle the serpent is. Okay, so Esther chapter 1, we'll start reading down through there. He says, now, and it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. That is a vast kingdom. So that, may be associated with this new idea of late, Tartary. And then he reigned over 127 provinces. Man, that's a large, large kingdom. From India all the way to Ethiopia. So that's a vast kingdom. But then he's going to show the typical attitude when somebody gets in a position like this. In America, they tried to prevent this because the colonists fled the tyranny of King George. So they had a great fear of political figureheads becoming too big for their britches. And so they developed what's called an oath and bonds, where somebody gets in a political office, they're supposed to take an oath to uphold the Constitution and all that and be servants to the people. And then they get a bond, an insurance policy to back that up. Okay, and that's supposed to be that they're going to retain an attitude of being a servant. But we obviously know you put somebody in a position of authority, the power goes to their head in many cases. And so, but who knows how to fight these things? I heard of one guy in Indiana that kicked every one of the public officials out of office because they didn't have proper oath and bonds. Now, how he did it, I have no idea how he did it. I'd like to learn how to do it, and we'd have some fun with that. Bill Day, when he was going through court, he had checked out the oath and bonds of 8 judges in South Bend, and not one did it. How hard is that? After you're elected, the first day in the office, go across the hall to another judge, raise your right hand, take an oath, sign it down, get an insurance policy. And not one of them in South Bend did it. And Bill pointed it out to his judge, and she said, don't make any difference. Well, then she went up and did it right after that, and all the other 8 did it after that. If it don't make a difference, why'd they do that? But what they did was criminal because they did it after the fact. But then again, who's gonna execute that? Okay, and so in America, that's how they tried to prevent it. But hey, you can't box in the flesh. I mean, you could pass the laws and all this stuff, but the flesh will do what the flesh wants to do. So he says that in those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. So they always have these elaborate buildings. This Shushan is the capital of Persia. Persia today is Iran. In the 3rd year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. So how did he do this? Where did he get the money for this? He stole it from the people. Okay, and then he says, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days, 180 days to do that. It's just phenomenal. 180 days. And you know what? If you go back in our history, the very first world fair was conducted in Philadelphia in 1876 to honor the 100th year anniversary of America. And they had this World Fair for 180 days. Now, it was a pattern after a fair that occurred previous called a sanitary fair. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Hey, dear, let's go to a sanitary fair. What's that all about? A sanitary fair. But this Philadelphia's World Fair, if you read the account, and they expect us to believe this, okay, they claim that the world's largest building was built for this fair in 18 months, and it had Greco-Roman structures, and then they're going to destroy it because all the buildings were temporary. 18 months, 1876, and they said thousands of people came from like 30 different countries. Can you imagine somebody in Australia saying, hey, dear, there's a fair, a world fair in Philadelphia. It's not going to catch a flight. Let's catch this boat and sail across the Pacific. You know, it'd take probably 3 weeks to get across the Pacific, and then we can catch maybe a train. Did they have trains then? I don't know. Maybe we can catch a train or ride a horse and buggy across the United States to Philadelphia so that we can attend this fair. Oh, maybe we'll attend for a couple of days and then go on back home. Who's going to do something like that? And when you read the accounts, it's just absolutely absurd. If you would look at Ezekiel 27. This was held, supposedly, it was held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. More than 200 buildings were constructed. The largest building in the world was contained 21 acres. And it says they had neo-Gothic appearances. And when you read down through this, you're thinking, 18 months? No excavators, no power tools, no electricity. I'm not so sure about this. Okay, and what we do is we look at Ezekiel 27. And one way the devil entices people is through wealth. Okay, so if you run through Ezekiel 26 through 32, there's seven chapters in a row describing, say, or Ezekiel describing satanic kingdoms. Okay, and if you drop down to verse 19, here's some of the nations. Ezekiel 27:19. Dan also and Javan going to and fro occupied in their fairs. You know, we have a county fair. What's Lake County Fair last? 10 days? 2 weeks? You know, Jasper County Fair? Well, you can walk through it about, 30 minutes. But these fairs, and bright ivory, cassia, and calamus were in the market. Dedan was a merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. These were they, thy merchants, the merchants of Sheba. Sheba, that's where the Queen of Sheba came from. That'd be south Saudi Arabia coming up through there. They were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with the chief of all spices, with all precious stones and gold. And so, and then drop down to, 24. These were thy merchants and all sorts of things in blue clothes, embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords made of cedar among the merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. If you go to the next chapter, Ezekiel 28 is clearly the place that anybody that teaches on demonology or Satan, they'll always springboard off of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and it is the place to do it. I mean, it's the place to do it. And so you have Ezekiel 28, verse 11 or 12, he's called the king of Tyrus. But this king, in verse 13, was in Eden, the garden of God. So we have two choices, Adam and the serpent. Okay, and then 14, he's called a cherub. Okay, that gets Adam out of the way. So now we know who we're dealing with. And then in verse 16, he says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. How do you get that merchandise? Through violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they shall behold thee. He does that in Isaiah 14, or he writes about it. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Okay, so President Trump is first president I know that would bring human trafficking to the forefront. And here we have it associated with Satan. If we call that drug traffic, liquor traffic, human trafficking. Big money. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. That's interesting. There have been cases throughout history. It's very rare, but it's called human combustion, where a person just, they torch right on the spot, like the Wicked Witch of the West. I melted. Human combustion. And so this is what he's going to do to the devil. He's going to fire him. Okay, it shall be devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. But the key, when you read through Ezekiel 26 to 32, you'll see over and over it'll talk about riches, a lot of merchandise, a lot of very wealthy things, and this is what's deceiving the church today. Remember, there are four type of hearts we have, where the four different type grounds, and that third one is where it's sown in there, and it says the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, and the devil, he's a mastermind in these things. Ezekiel 27, verse 4. He says, thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Sinur. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masks for thee. This is very expensive products. Okay, and it's just amazing what is going on. So if you read, study or look at it, read some of the accounts of the world fairs, and if you use some discretion, you're going to look at it like I'm looking at it. Are you kidding me? 200 buildings and 3 miles of fence around that, and they did all that in 2 years, and then they're going to destroy it all? For what? To raise $1 million for bandages of the Civil War, which was over? I mean, it's just amazing. It was just their way. And they admit in here, granite, art style, iron, glass frame on brick and marble foundation, and they're going to destroy all that? It was just an excuse for them to try to get rid of that architect that they had. And then, of course, usually there's a fire after World Fair, Chicago, St. Louis, San Francisco. And so it's the devil trying to cover up some things, and he doesn't want this technology to be let out without his strings attached. Okay, and so this is the devil's way of, it's a masterful way of deceiving people. So in Esther, so this guy, this king, had a 180-day fair to show off his wealth. And, of course, did anybody walk through there and say, well, he stole that from me, he stole that from me, he stole that from me? No, they just sit there and look at it and gawk at it, and the average person says, boy, if I can just get in his good graces, then I could get in on this and live a more luxurious life. And they don't think about the poverty that they cause in people's lives. They don't think about that at all. It's just human nature, me first and you next. That's the survival of the fittest. So Esther 1 verse 4, he's showing off his glorious kingdom. Now, he's very fortunate, because when Nebuchadnezzar did that, the Lord made him just like Joe Biden. Can you imagine the average Babylonian in the newspaper? Nebi did this today, or Nebi did this today. Who was his handlers? He had handlers. And for 7 years, that guy was a nutcase. Can you imagine taking a tour group? Let's go see the palace where the king's at. And they said, well, let's go see where the king's at. And they go behind the horse's stable where the oxen are and say, Nebi, Nebi. And then he comes running up, there's our beloved king. When a man messes with a book, God messes. And I think that Nebuchadnezzar is the forerunner of Cousin It on the Addams Family. I mean, it's just something. Okay, in verse 5, he says, and when these days were expired, The king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace. Man, no let up on this. Both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings and pillars of marble. Whoa! The beds of gold and silver upon pavement of red and blue and white and black and marble. Man, oh man, that's pretty elaborate. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And drinking was according to the law. Okay, so in our world, in our country, the tax on liquor is called sin tax. And every Christmas, congressmen and senators get cases of liquor to buy them off. Okay, and so drinking is according to the law doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. And so this king is going to be drunk and he's going to make a bad decision, as often people do. Okay, and I remember visiting, you know, in jail, it's booze and drugs that get those guys in jail. And it's like, you know, one guy said, "Who's your Lord?" He said, "Lord Calvert." I said, "Good God, you have." And then one guy, I think he had a couple of dimes. He says, "There's what I got to my name because of booze." And then I'd usually ask him, and I said, "Have your drinking buddies come visited you?" "No." I said, "So your friend right now standing in front of you wanting the best for you." But people get out, they go back to it, they come back. And when they'd come back, I said, "You must like this hotel." They keep coming back. That booze has a hold on people. It has a hold on them. And it's a shame. The drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. And that's what they do when they get drunk. A lot of times politicians, they go to these political parties and they get them drunk, and then they get them in very suggestive situations, and they got the cameras running. And this is how they blackmail congressmen and senators. They keep them quiet. Okay, it's dirty politics. It's a dirty world. The common saying is "in the know." You ever hear that common saying, "in the know"? Where did that originate from? Genesis 19, when those sodomites wanted to know those two angels. That's where that came from. And that's why these perverted things take place in politics. I remember years ago in Illinois, there was a very conservative politician. He was a brother to Phil Crane, who was a conservative politician for a long time. And this was his brother's name was Dan Crane. I don't know if anybody remember him. Years ago, he got in trouble with a female page. Okay, and never got reelected. He's ruined politically. At the same time, Barney Frank over there in Massachusetts got in trouble with a male page. And guess what happened to the Barney Frank? Reelected. Because that's what it is. It's just dirty politics. It's just filthy garbage. The God of this world knows how to manipulate. And the drinking, of course, now drugs. People will do things while they're drunk that they will not do if they got their senses. And of course, the king's going to do something silly, something stupid. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, of course, he's drunk, he commanded all those guys, the seven chamberlains, that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes for her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Now, the Bible writes it in a way where, okay, adults, you can figure out what's going on. You can figure out what he's doing. It's amazing that she stood up to it, really. It's amazing that she said, no, I'm not doing that. And some people will reach a point where, okay, enough's enough. And if she knew the after effect, maybe she thought she's going to get away with it, disobeying the king, but maybe not. But she refused, verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. So people get drunk, they get mad, they don't get their way. Okay, some get violent. Some people are nice drunk, where they just get drunk and lay down on the ground, don't do anything. But some people just fight, get violent. Okay, and so the queen refused. Good for her. But you got some insecure men here who want the king. You need to pass a law to say the wives have to obey their husbands. Like, you're going to make a law to do this? Verse 13, then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times. Okay, so again, just very simple words, which knew the times. That idea is in Deuteronomy, it was forbidden observing of times. So this knowing the times is a satanic thing where they're getting into astrology and they're getting into calling up spirits. It's like Hillary Clinton, where she would call up Eleanor Roosevelt, another dyke like her, okay, and then have communications. I remember when people were shocked that Nancy Reagan consulted the stars for Ronald Reagan to travel. And that was a shocker. But they all do this. Okay, and this is where an inaugural address comes from. The word auger, A-U-G-U-R, on the farm, you know, you move grain with it. But an auger was a Roman priest that would predict by looking at the body parts of an animal. They would dissect an animal, look at the liver, look at, oh, okay, by this I can see what's going to happen, you know, and all that stuff. You know, yeah, what's going to happen? If you cook it right, it's going to taste good. That's what's going to happen. Okay, but Vashti, okay, and then all those names. Verse 15, they said, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king by the chamberlains. So now they're going to get their heads together. And this Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. No, she didn't. She disobeyed one man, and he was drunk at the time. And so this guy is going to stretch it out. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. They're probably worthy to be despised. And they definitely are when they got to pass a law for this. You see, this power that they're going to exercise, you cannot, like I mentioned this morning, you cannot force love. And it says, when it shall be reported, of course, it's going to be in the daily newspaper. And Vashti, you know, was spoken against. And the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there be arise too much contempt and wrath. I could just see anybody, little sissified men, you know. And so if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered. And the idea there is you got back and forth Persians, Medes, and so the idea is that when a Persian comes in place for a Mede, they can't change the laws to fix the Persians. Back and forth. And then he said that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when a king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his kingdom, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both great and small. No, they won't. You can't force that. They might out of fear, but that's not love. And this is the nonsense of this. But in these people's mind, that's why they call it a bully pulpit. Politics operates by being a bully. And so I'm saying, please the king. You know, he's still, you know, drinking away. And the princes and the king did according to the word of Memucan. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. And I can imagine some of the people reading this said, what's going on here? This is just absolute nonsense. You can't force that. But that's the insanity. That's one is the insanity, well, of getting drunk. And the other, the insanity is that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's like they're trying to force it. Well, if you want to force it, then just get a bunch of robots and just have these robots every once in a while say, I honor you, King. And you can sit in the middle of them, you know, and your head explodes this way. And it's just absolute nonsense. That's, you know, bullies, tyrants, they don't think like that. They just want their way. And like a two-year-old, they'll throw a temper tantrum to get their way. Okay, so that's chapter one. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask you'd help us to see what's going on here, and I pray that we'd also be able to see that the Antichrist is definitely going to behave in this fashion. And I pray that you'd help us to see the truth of your words, and we thank you for the testimony, at least of Vashti, of standing up to this nonsense. And I just pray you'd help us as we keep going through this, that we might get some ideas or thoughts or beliefs or doctrines about that'll be a blessing to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.